Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, just to orient ourselves as to why we're here. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the assembly that Jesus Christ, before he departed from earth to go to you, he established the local church for the dissemination of the Word of God, for the gathering of saints. So, Father, we thank you for our assembly. We thank you for this opportunity this morning and using our freedom to study the Word of God, to worship with other believers, to pray, to give, to fulfill the function of the local assembly. And, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, Brian, let's begin with some song.
Jesus paid it all.
Y'all do better than that in the shower. Now let's sing it now. Let's start it again. Let's start it again.
I hear our Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, what to pray? Find in me thine all in all.
Okay, John, you can turn back on the lights back there. James sent this to me, along with some other pictures of a lion, and I said, that's why Daniel wasn't afraid. those lions were just in there playing. So, but be that as it may. Okay, let's first of all talk about, well, first of all, we have a report for our young people. And so, there you are. Okay, I was wondering, where is he? All right, come on up and give us a report, Chris.
So, wanted to give a quick financial report. With regards to the year, and it's not going to take very long. But the first thing I wanted to say was this congregation and this ministry within our congregation is just absolutely amazing to watch the amount of support and love and effort that's put into to the ministry for our young people. We've got camp coming up next month. We are bringing in 113 kids this year, and we have 40 staff going up, so we'll have 153 people up at camp. The camp is designed to hold about 120. So we actually took down additional facility space at the camp next door to rent that out as well. So some of the young people, the older kids, will get to stay at a different place at night. But financially speaking, we have done fantastic on the fundraisers, and so much thanksgiving to the folks that have spent a tremendous amount of time. I know Larry and Terry and Leslie and Pat and Phil, and I know there's others, have spent a tremendous amount of time in the fundraising activities. Those have been amazing. We are sitting right now about $3,000 short of where we would have expected to be, actually $2,000 short of where we would have expected to be at this point in time. We've got two car washes next month, which we expect to bring in about $1,000. And so we're $3,000 short, put that on there, and we got about $2,000 gap of what we were targeting. Full disclosure, we did have money, you know, extra money that we raised last year, so we have enough to cover everything that we are trying to do with the camp and with the ongoing things for next year. But as far as the goal and the proposal that I put out to y'all at the end of last year, we're about $2,000 behind. The reason that I'm bringing that up is Herman has already spoken to us about next year, possibly bringing in some folks from down south in the Houston area. We're talking about bringing in more, you know, making it a larger facility, maybe looking at those sorts of things. The cost for next year will probably ultimately end up going up if we are to do that. So having a little bit of what I would call seed money for the activities for the following year is the reason that I'm bringing up the $2,000 shortage based on our targets for this year. So God has never missed in taking care of our financial needs. Just throwing that out, so you have, as a church family, you have full awareness of where we are. We are not concerned about having an amazing camp, we are definitely looking for ways to continue to manage the money and be good stewards of all of the finances. The one thing I do want to say, as an example of how well some of these things are being done, we actually have folks coming from one of the major churches in Wiley. Okay, there is a major church in Wiley. For all you that don't think that Wiley has 12 people, there's a very large church in Wiley, and they run a camp in the summertime. And we've got a good number of their kids coming to ours. And it's because, and they flat out told me, we get these kids coming to our camps because of the cost. The cost to their camps is cost prohibitive, especially with families who have two or three kids that want to go. So it's really amazing. They charge anywhere from $300 to $500, depending on the camp. We charge $75 for our kids to go to camp. It's a net loss to the overall expenses. That's why we do so much fundraising. It costs us about $210 per child to go to camp. That pays for the staff. That pays for the facility. All of that costs about $210 per kid. We charge them $75, and then they pay for the transportation cost, which is another $25. We have families that send all of their kids and then go on vacation. We really do. But you know what? I don't care how they get there. I don't care what mom and dad is doing. Send me your kids. We love them. And we are blessed this year to have a lot of the young people coming back to be counselors and to be a part of this. We have some folks coming up from Glen Haven to be a part of the music worship, folks coming from Indiana, from Las Vegas, from you name it, they're coming in all over the place to be a part of this. And so we are very blessed in that space. But that's where we are financially. We're not in any dire straits at all. We are in a great place. But just so you have full disclosure. So.
Miss Becky is extremely
okay, let's talk about prayer. People, please continue to be in prayer for Jim Langston. He's, Jim, I understand you're still in a searching agenda right now to figure out what the best procedure to do. So let's be in prayer. That's a very important decision that Jim's going to have to make. And we've already talked about the seriousness of what's going on with Jim. And it could change his whole life and his activity. So please be in prayer for Jim in wisdom of what God has in store and the direction that he ought to follow. Let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Thomas, how you doing? How? Good, all right. Very good.
Today's his 2-year birthday.
Do what?
Today's his 2-year birthday.
2-year birthday. Why? That's right. Yes. All right. Happy birthday, man. I'll be glad when it's 5 years. That'll be super.
Yeah, but my motto is
he's
surviving and thriving.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that is really super. All right, that's wonderful. Absolutely. Come on up. Tell us about it. Now, what we're talking about here is that Thomas was given a
make a wish.
And so I'm going to let him tell you about it.
Very good.
They converted him. He wants a set of drums now.
So we flew out on Friday last Friday to Detroit, and where we stayed in a really nice hotel in Dearborn, and that's, if and you don't know, that's where Henry Ford is from, and that's where like all of the Ford plants and research facilities are. So that was pretty cool, because in that town there's literally maybe one out of every 100 car was not American, so that was a pretty neat feeling to be like in that area. And then, so then on Saturday we went into Detroit and we got our tickets, and the idea is I wanted to meet Metallica for my Make-A-Wish, and then that got granted, and the only like show they had in America was this 2-day festival in Detroit that they're throwing. So on Saturday we went down there, we went to the box office, got our tickets, and skipped a whole line of that people who were saying took them 4 hours to get through because we had a VIP ticket access. So I was the festival was on an island, so we went down there on the charter buses, and for that day we met with their manager Sue, and she had a surprise for us. And so at one of the smaller stages, the Metallica made like a surprise appearance under a like fake band name that they made up and put on all the shirts. And so that was a pretty cool surprise. And then we just kind of watched all the rest of the music for the day. And then we had side stage passes for the rest of the bands on the main stage. So that was fun. And then the next day we had a limo to take us there and back home. And that day we actually did the meet and greet that day, and each member came in separately because of how everything is scheduled, but each one probably spent at least 10 minutes talking to me and the other kid that was from the UK, and so each one treated us like, it was with a small group of people doing the meet and greet, but it was like almost private because they were like talking to you one-on-one and then getting pictures and everything. So it was really cool. They were all really, really nice guys. They treated us like family. And then, so they're all coming, and then they signed a bunch of stuff and got pictures and everything. And then later the drummer comes, or the last one to come was the drummer, and me and the other kid are both telling him how we like to play drums and guitar and everything, and he asked us how would you guys like it to come on stage with me behind and sit behind our drum kit, my drum kit backstage and like under the stage by him. So then when they're coming on, we're going in back behind the stage and we're seeing like this whole crowd of 30,000 people out there to see him. And then we just like, the manager made sure we were taken care of, and he came like a couple songs and he's like, Lars wanted to make sure that you guys are having the best seats, so if you want to move side stage, maybe see a little bit better, like right on the side of the stage with where the family was standing of his, like the drummer's girlfriend and then his kids and stuff were standing. So we moved over there and it was just right there, and like during the entire show, like every band person acknowledged us. Like there was the bass player came up right in front of us and was playing there, like played a few measures like right in front of us, and everyone smiled at us, and then the lead guitarist came over and he would mouth our names during the show, and the drummer would look over and be singing along to the songs with us and looking at us while he's playing and stuff. So, and then for the last song, the drummer's girlfriend asked if we would want to come on stage and count off for their last song. So right before the last song, the drummer walked over and got us both up and helped the other kid with prosthetics up, and then so we both walked on stage together, and then out there in 38,000 people, and they so then we were standing behind that drum kit, and then when he said just hit this four times and the music will start, we're gonna hit it with me, and so then he counted off and we hit four times and the music started, and we went back to the side and watched the rest of the song, and then got to leave out, and that was everything.
Thank you, young man. Today is Father's Day, and I don't think anybody would complain. I think Thomas's father, Rick, should get the award for the Father of the Year after all they've been through in the past 2 years. But when the curtains opened, I understand that it had Thomas on the band, on the drums. And Rick, you had to control Rick. Yeah. So that's something. Now, are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Now, I heard on Friday.
Yeah, she was coming into work and had a car accident. She was at fault because her car was out of alignment. The driver of the other car didn't make it. So right now she's shaky, and other than moving the car, she's
It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, a lot of survivor guilt and all that.
Good, that's good.
So many things happened to her life, like her husband walked out on her, filed bankruptcy without her consent, took away her truck and house, and left her with a child, she's been through all that, and now she's just another thing.
Well, and what's her first name?
Shanika, Chynika.
Alright, Shanika. Alright, we will be in prayer, and wow, it's a good thing she has Christ to lean on. And I hope she has some understanding of the word. All right, any other prayer requests that we need to be? Yes, Gigi. I'm sorry? Who? Your niece? Your aunt. Okay. All right. How's your mother doing? Last week we were in prayer for your mother. She's better? All right. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. All right. All right. Any other prayer request? Yes. Excuse me just a moment. I couldn't hear you. Yes. All right, we will continue to be in prayer and for you. Yes. All right. And I saw another hand. Yes.
The Wises are returning from Mexico tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So they're in travel. So we need
to... All right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Are they driving today or tomorrow?
They're
flying. All right. Okay. All right. And they just got to show their passport at the airport. Yes. For your husband. All right. All right. I appreciate that. Her husband needs it. And I didn't mean it that way. All right. Any other prayer requests? All right. Just remember all of these prayers and please be in prayer for one another in the spiritual warfare. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is one who is a believer in Jesus Christ, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith alone in the Holy Spirit alone. And he guides us in regard to our giving in the Christian realm. These things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we live in Satan's world, the kingdom of darkness, while we reside in the kingdom of light. But Heavenly Father, to spread the gospel in Satan's world, he makes it as difficult as possible, and it costs. But Heavenly Father, we consider this a great privilege, the use of our finances to support the teaching of the Word of God and the dissemination of the gospel to both believer and unbeliever. And therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you would continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, first of all, does everyone have this morning's lesson and has a new picture on the front? Anybody not have it? Not have it? Okay, everybody has one. All right, very good. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer, which is vital. To test yourself, to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, to teach. This is the great chapter that so many people know about, but not all the lessons that are involved in it, of Daniel in the lion's den. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in directing Daniel the writing of this book, the Holy Spirit in preserving this book. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us and open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, the illumination of the truth, for our edification, for our continual trust in you, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Now, on the first sheet, I repeated the five lessons, the five primary lessons that we want to look at in the book, chapter 6 of Daniel. The first one, the historical record of God promoting. In fact, if you'll turn the page, actually, it gives us a better flow of what we're doing. The historical record of God promoting Jews in exile through nations in the times of the Gentiles. This is verses 1 through 3 that we covered last week. And then secondly, anti-Semitism and hatred of Christians from John 15. And we see, as we saw, how the satraps were so jealous of Daniel that they plotted against him to get rid of him. And then the third major lesson is the wisdom of civil disobedience. And we started this last week. We'll continue it today. It's verses 10 through 15. So we begin at verse 12 this morning. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king? Now this feeds to his arrogance. This is flattery that feeds to him. For 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den. The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Now, in verse 12, they do not mention any names. What they're doing here is solidifying the decree that they want to be sure everything's in order. These men know exactly what they're doing. It's a well-planned meeting here. They have well laid out their plans against Daniel. Darius was so full of himself, he failed to see what was going on, and he was being used for their plot. Here's wisdom. Be careful of being used by others to carry out their plots and schemes against someone else in your family, in the church, at work, in your social life. Three times in this chapter, verses 8, 12, and 15, we have the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. This introduces one of Satan's primary weapons, the law. What is one of the first things we know about the law? The law kills. Good. That's what the law does. So, he is a great proponent of the law. And so this is what he is doing at this point. And he uses the law to accuse believers before God for breaking the law. You know the passage where he is roaming about, seeing who he can devour? He's looking for believers at sin. He's not necessarily looking for believers he can lead into sin. He's looking to believers through sin that he can take them up their name to God and have them disband. So this is what his plan is. So therefore, people, whenever you gossip or slander another believer who sins, you're doing Satan's work. You're doing his work. You should be doing the Lord's work, which is to restore them, which is the law of Christ. Look at Galatians 6, 1 and 2 here on your paper. Brethren, if anyone, a believer, is caught in any trespass, you are spiritual, filled with the Spirit. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's the law of Christ. I'm sure you know the story about bearing your own cross. A lot of people don't understand that. It's not hardships that you have to go through in life. Bearing your own cross. When Christ bore his own cross, what was that cross? It was the sins of mankind. They weren't his. Bearing your own cross is helping other believers, helping unbelievers, so that they can stand up and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 13. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Now, first of all, note how they refer to Daniel, not as one who obeys the king in fulfilling the desires of the state, but as one of those Jewish exiles. Note the accusation against Daniel. Now, before we look at the accusations against Daniel, accusations are very important through the Word of God. On Wednesday night right now, we're studying accusations against Jesus Christ by the Sanhedrin before Pilate and before Herod. So now we're noting the accusations against Daniel. Okay, the first accusation against Daniel pays no attention to you. Nothing about how he runs the empire, but that he prays to his God. Second accusation, pays no attention to the injunction which you signed. And the third accusation, prays 3 times a day to his God. Daniel was unfairly accused, but justly. You see that? According to the law, he did break it. And that's why last week we took up some principles on civil disobedience. He did break it. The law was unfair, but he did break the law. Again, this is one of Satan's favorite schemes, to entrap the believer with or by the law in the service of his God. Daniel knew that the success of the Medo-Persian Empire was dependent upon the Lord. So by his continual worship of his God, he was loyal to his nation. People, your loyalty to this country is your faithfulness to your God. That is your loyalty to this nation. The satraps used the law against Daniel. The Sanhedrin used the law against Jesus Christ. Satan is using the law to bring down America today, changing the whole structure of the family. Today is Father's Day. But what we have going on in this country is a breakdown of the divine institution of the family. This is just one of his parts of his plan to break down this country. The law will be used in the tribulation against Jews and Christians. The mark of the beast that is part of the law in the land is a part of their legal system to get rid of believers. The satraps used Darius to get rid of Daniel. The Sanhedrin is using Pilate to get rid of Jesus Christ. Now, Darius is forced to stand by the law to fulfill their evil schemes. That's why we had the repeating of it's the law of the Medes and the Persians. He has to stand beside it. Satan is using the laws, the judicial system in America, to take America down. The king learns now that he has been used and trapped by his own arrogance. And just a little statement, the weeds of arrogance shed evil fruit. This is what arrogance will always do. Current reality usually reveals our own failures, or if you're walking in the Spirit. Now, verse 14. Then, as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. Now, we know at the end, he's going to come back, and he's going to throw all of them into the lion's den. But right now, he has to deal with his own arrogance. So, he was deeply distressed, set his mind on delivering Daniel. Now, he can't change the law, though he may try. We don't have any record of what he might have done, but he may try. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. I'm sure he went to the council, went to the satraps to try to get Daniel by. But they said, no, it's the law of the Medes and the Persians. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. It's the law of the land. He violated the law. And remember last week we saw, if you violate the law, If the law says you cannot give the gospel and you give the gospel, just be ready to pay the consequences. That's what Peter, John did, and Paul. They paid the consequences for violating the law. So you may have to violate the law. Just be ready to pay the consequences. Verse 19. Then these men came by agreement. We'll take a look at that by agreement. To the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians." I'm sure every time that Darius came up with a reason for not putting Daniel in the lion's den, this is what they shouted. The law of the land! The law of the land! The law of the land! You can't break the law! So they've got him. And so the law of the Medes and the Persians, the no injunction or statute which the king establishes, may be changed. Now what I want you to look at is that phrase, by agreement. This occurs three times. Verse 6, 11, and 15. In the New American Standard margin, they have thronging. The Aramaic word conveys the idea of turbulent meeting with the intent of conspiring. It is, of course, reminds us immediately, those of you that come on Wednesday night, of the meetings by the Sanhedrin to get rid of this Jesus. Especially, even the morning of the crucifixion, they met before daybreak, at daybreak, and then they proceeded to the public display of it to get rid of this Jesus. By agreement is an attack on the privacy of the citizens. They're meeting in secrecy. They're meeting in privacy. What is going on in the NSA and the Obama administration should outrage every freedom-loving American. But it isn't. It isn't. The mainstream media is defending this unbelievable invasion of privacy. Now, this has already been taken off of the Internet. But let me just show you something. Turn off the this one light right here, Steve. This is a layout of the NSA. Now, what is interesting about this layout of the NSA in Utah is that underground is twice as much going on underneath the ground of the NSA. Now, you can't read this, but they did have on there what each of these buildings were designed, what information they were designed to process. But here's just some of the things. Internet searches, websites visited, emails sent and received, social media activity, blogging activity, including posts read, all of these things, videos watched and are uploaded online, photos viewed, music downloads, mobile phone download, surveillance cameras, medical information, including diagnosis and treatments, prescription drug purchases, guns and ammunition sale, educational records, arrest records, driver's license information. All this is a violation, people, of our freedom. Do not take your privacy for granted. It's being taken away from us. It's got to be taken away. They've got to control the populace to bring about the country they want to bring about. You can turn the lights back on. To bring about the country, the design that they have. Now, when we get back and study the times of the Gentiles and the rise and fall of nations, we're going to see that each one of them had a plan, and especially when we get to Rome, had a plan for all people, all time. And it's centered around Rome. And that's why I've taken the church of Smyrna. They were persecuted because they worshiped the Lord. Now, what you have to understand is from Rome's standpoint and from other Roman citizens' standpoint. Listen, you've got to worship Rome. Rome is giving us freedom. Rome is protecting us. Rome is giving us this. They built roads. They built aqueducts. They built travel and trade and commerce. You should worship Rome. No, people, the Christian's loyalty lies higher than a state. But this is the way a state works. One of the most remarkable things in history one of the most remarkable phenomenons in human history. And we'll see this as we go through the times of the Gentiles in chapter 7. Is the American Constitution. It has no goal. It has nothing at which its objective is to bring about this kind of environment. This is remarkable when you study history of nations. Life, liberty, happiness. You get to choose for yourself. Our Constitution is laid out to create an environment where you decide what you want, not what the government wants. This is all being changed. Our current government has an objective, a plan, an agenda. The UN has an agenda. What's good for you? We will decide what's good for you. So one of the things that has to be removed is this Constitution and its allegiance to it. Cannot have that, because that Constitution has no agenda in mind. Read it carefully. It has no utopia goal. You form your own utopia. That's the American Constitution. And that's what's got to be changed. Four pillars of political freedom. Life, liberty, property, and privacy. God has given to everyone the respect of privacy. We are set free by the privacy of faith. As believers, we are restored from sin by the privacy of faith. People, there's nothing that happens. Let's say someone in this room right now is in the flesh, not in the filling of the Spirit. There's no light above you. There's no change in you. Nobody knows. You have that privacy. God knows. God knows, and you know if you're trusting the Spirit or not. Privacy is very important to God, but it is not to Americans. And when something is not important, you will lose it. Okay, let's continue on to the fourth great lesson. God is able to deliver believers through the most adverse of circumstances, verses 16 through 22. This is the lion's den. Then the king gave orders. And Daniel, remember he's an old man, was brought in and cast. Doesn't say Lord. I've heard preachers that say he was lowered, wanting to be not. This Aramaic word does not mean lowered. It means cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Now, all this happened to Daniel that God might reveal his faithfulness to the faithful believers, and that Darius might be saved. The first king of the Persian Empire had many gods, Darius, but he will eventually believe solely in the God of Daniel. This is one of the things happening right now. We saw the first king, or not really the first king, but the first major king in the United Kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, believed in Jesus Christ. The first king of the second empire believes in Jesus Christ, and that's going to be it. It's going to go downhill from there. He constantly served our God. Can that truthfully be said of each of us? That we constantly serve our God with our time, with our money, our prayers, our efforts. How often do we break our serving of Him with some sinful thought or deed? The Aramaic word here that we have for Daniel being means to cast or to throw. We do not know how this was done against this old man, but we know that it did not hurt him in any way. I'll show you that in the coming verses. He was not in any way harmed. Darius knew and respected Daniel and Daniel's worship of his God, and Darius is well on his way to believing in the God of Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve. This is intensive in the Aramaic. And, you know, I'd write some of this on the board, but writing the Aramaic isn't going to help you. I'll tell you what it means. It's intensive. Daniel served his God intensively, faithfully. and their iris and the empire is fulfilled and prospered by the believer serving his God. Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the welfare of the city. This is written to Jews in exile. I hope you've read Jeremiah 29. If you haven't, please do before next Sunday. Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. The plan of God is for the Jews to be in exile. They are to serve that country and pray to the Lord on its behalf of the country. For in its welfare, you have welfare. Alright? Darius knows that Daniel's God is able to save Daniel from the lions. Soon Daniel's God would become the God of Darius. Alright, verse 17. A stone has been laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. What does this mean? No escape. There is no way he's going to get out of this. He's not going to be pulled up, and that's why the liberals were, oh, well, that's why he was saved, because they pulled him out. Nope. It is sealed. They used the law to entrap Daniel. They used flattery to entrap the king. And now they do all they can to be sure that no help is given Daniel, or that he should escape in some way. They want no help. No weapons, no people, no deliverance, nothing to help him. Now, you know the story. Jesus Christ was put into a tomb with Tiberius Caesar's mark to seal the stone put on that tomb. And the stone was supernaturally removed, not to let Jesus Christ out, but to let them see he had risen. God breaks man's chains. James asked me if he could put in those locks, and I said, yeah, that's good. So God breaks man's chains, man's seals, man's plans. We have our plan, God has his. The locks of man cannot shut out the plan of God. No matter how secure man thinks he has locked God out, God always prevails. They think they've prevailed getting the Bible out of the judicial system, getting the Bible out of the educational system, getting the Bible out of most churches. It isn't going to work. God is going to prevail, and he's going to prevail through those believers who hold to the truth. So no matter how secure man feels, he is not going to prevail against God. In this hostile world, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the invisible warfare. Therefore, our battle is a battle of faith. See, when you're fighting man, you can see him. You're fighting man, you've got a weapon, they've got a weapon. So you're fighting, you can see, you know his moves. People, we're in invisible warfare. Invisible warfare. You can't see the enemy except with the eyes of faith. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, Jesus Christ is our example. Now I want you to pay close attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Now look at this next phrase, very important. But kept on entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. On the cross, Jesus Christ kept on trusting God the Father through the trials, through all that is going to happen to him, and on the cross, the humanity of Christ kept trusting in God and will be delivered. You will note that the only that not only did the king seal the stone, but he had the nobles also steal the stone put over the lion's den. This seal is by the king was a protection of that which was sealed. No one could move this stone to rescue Daniel, just as no one could roll away the stone and remove Jesus from the tomb. Also, we are sealed by God the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our salvation. For someone to deny eternal salvation is to break the seal of God, which no one can do. You have eternal security, and the proof of it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is no accident, in my opinion, that the first word of verse 17 is stone, which is the same Aramaic word in chapter 2, the stone that would crush the empire of Nebuchadnezzar's statue. It seems certain that when Daniel looked up and saw the stone being placed over the opening, he surely must have thought of the stone of Jesus Christ that would crush, not him, but the empires of the world. Daniel is just as much in peace, at peace, in the lion's den, as in his own home, while in prayer or in a staff meeting. People, that's what you and I can be with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will keep him in perfect, keep him, regardless of circumstances, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Now, while Daniel, at peace in the lion's den, the king is miserable in his palace. Let's take a look, verse 18. Then the king went off to, once they lower, cast Daniel into the lion's den, the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, couldn't eat, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Okay, let's learn some things from this king. One, had he really believed that Daniel's God would deliver Daniel, he would have been at peace all night. But see, the first area of faith is in Jesus Christ. He hasn't made that area of faith yet. And then I'm going to add, even as a believer, our faith depends on hearing of the Word of God, growing doctrine in the soul. So, Darius is on his way, but he's not there. Point two, he had everything. Wealth, success, power, and yet he is miserable at betraying his own friend. Three, after luring Daniel into the den, he went off in misery to his beautiful, pleasure-designed palace, but he was not having fun. Four, he did not eat through the night. Now, little does he know that the lions aren't going to be eating either. I just thought I'd throw that in. The lions aren't going to be eating either. All right. Point five, he could not stand for entertainment. I'll tell you what the Aramaic word shows. This is an interesting note. Coming off of Belshazzar's great wild party, and the fact that such events were celebrated with parties, the Aramaic word, right here, you look it up in any lexicon, in a good lexicon, implies a musical instrument played by concubines to arouse, excuse me, to arouse sexual stimulation. That sexual stimulation got me around. I got my throat going here. But Darius was in no mood for partying. While it seemed certain the satraps who laid out the schemes were probably enjoying themselves. Six, Darius could not sleep. He could not eat. He could not party. He could not sleep. Well, it would not surprise us to learn that old man Daniel took a nap in the lion's den somewhere through the night. Verse 19, then the king rose at dawn, at the break of day, the very break of day, and he went in haste, he ran to the lion's den. When he had come near to the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lion? Now, let's just jump to 21, because I love Daniel's reply. Daniel said, O king, live forever. See? I'm okay, King. I mean, this just has to be great. What's going on? Darius had a rough night. You would think that he had thrown into the lion's den himself. First, he assures Daniel that Daniel's God would deliver him. Then he spent the night in worry and panic, and now he wants to see if God has, in fact, delivered. Daniel could not be killed before his time, and people need to know God's time. And whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, it's God's perfect time. Got to understand that. It's God's perfect time. God has a plan for every believer, and you will not die before God's plan for you is fulfilled. People, the time of your birth and the time of your death is not important. What is important is what you do with your life. What you do in regard to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and living to glorify God. Living in light of eternity now. That's all that's important. It is totally unimportant how we die. It is totally unimportant when we die. What is important is that you are alive today. What are you doing with that time each day? O King, live forever. When this, while this is a customary greeting, perhaps Daniel was beckoning Darius to believe in his God. Now we move to verse 22. My God, personal relationship. I hope you understand that. My God, my Savior, my friend, sent His angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before Him and also before you, toward you, O King, I have committed no crime. Now, let me show you something. The implication is that this is the angel of Jehovah. His angel, the angel of Jehovah. And if that's the case, this is Jesus Christ. The angel of Jehovah in the Old Testament is a title of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. So this is Jesus Christ. And if this is true, and I believe it is, this means Jesus Christ will spend the night with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace. He is with Daniel in the lion's den. He is with you and me in battles in life. He is always there. I will never desert you. I will never leave you. He will always be there. So this is what we have. It's supernaturally closing of the mouths of the hungry lions. We first live our lives for the Lord, which is seen before man. Now we come to the fifth and final great lesson. It's prophetic message of the divine deliverance of the faithful Jews in the tribulation being delivered from the beast of Revelation 13. People, you've got to understand nearly every chapter in Daniel has something to do with the tribulational period and the second advent and the millennium. Nearly every chapter. That's why I'm trying to take you back to those chapters. Okay, verses 23 through 28. Divine deliverance. One, never a question of God's omnipotence. Whether or not God delivers is never a question of divine omnipotence. That is His ability to deliver under any circumstance and every circumstance. Fiery furnace or lion's den. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Point two. It's not a question of His omnipotence. It is a question of His sovereignty. It is a question of His plan. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. God's perfect plan for the ages, for all the nations, and for each individual. So when you and I are taken out, that's God's perfect plan. That is God's perfect plan. It's not a matter, can God get me through this? Yes. No matter what it is. A fiery furnace, a lion's den. He can get you through it. It's what is His plan. I trust you, God. Whatever your plan is, I trust you. If it's to deliver me through this, I trust you. If it's to take me home, I trust you. You are my God. That's the point. Now, point three. Be it known that had God delivered Daniel from earth through these lions, it would have been a blessed deliverance. God chose to deliver Daniel safely from the lions, just as he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. But in 64 A.D., God delivered Christians home in the fires of Nero. These were Christian martyrs. And in the tribulation, there will be a multitude of saints martyred. And yet there will be a multitude of saints delivered through the horrible period and go right into the millennium. It's God's plan, people. We put our faith in God and in His plan. Don't ever doubt God's plan. Point four. Here God delivered Daniel by sending His angel, Jesus Christ, to shut the mouths of the lions. The way this reads, this angel is Jehovah, who is always the Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came personally, as He often does through Scripture, and was with Daniel this night, just as He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Whether or not He had fellowship with Daniel, we're not told, but He supernaturally closed the mouths of the lions. Five, God delivers believers through multitude of ways, including using guardian angels, Hebrews 1:14, Psalm 91:11. But, you know, I started to spend some time on guardian angels, but some people get weird about guardian angels. And I just don't want you to get weird about them. You have guardian angels. And John Hintz and I kid each other that ours have put in for a transfer many times. But it's just a matter, we all have them. Sometimes we will never know how many wrecks in a car you were spared, how many dangers you were spared because of your guardian angel. We'll know in heaven. Okay, Hebrews 1:14, having become as much better than the angels as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And then finally, point six, every believer in Jesus Christ can have the same assurance that Daniel had, that no matter how wonderful or how horrible the circumstances may be, he will be taken home at God's perfect timing, and therefore should live each day for Christ, knowing that death is gain in being with Christ. It is unfortunate that some believers want to go home before God's perfect timing. People, they don't understand the peace that God gives, passing all understanding. He can give peace no matter what's going on in your life. But a number of believers that want to go home before God's perfect timing. Let me tell you something about the tribulation. We'll be studying it on and on through this book of Daniel. The tribulation is not a problem-solving device, people. It's not designed to get you out of a jam, to get you out of a lousy marriage, to get you out of financial bind, to get you out of your problems. That's not the purpose of the tribulation or the rapture. The rapture is not designed to do that. The filling of the Spirit, living in the Word, those are designed for that purpose. The rapture is designed that we all go home with the Lord. Okay, now verse 23. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders that Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever from being dropped, cast into the lion's den, or with the lions, no injury whatever was found in him, because he had trusted in his God. There's your key words. He kept on trusting his God. Oh, no, don't throw me down there. No. Okay. If this is God's timing, I'm ready. All night long, continually trusting God, no injury from the fall in the den, no injury from the lions. Third great declaration about Daniel for each of us to follow. He had the Holy Spirit. He is faithful. He trusted in his God. Now, the third great declaration about Daniel, for each of us to follow, walk by faith, he kept on trusting God, no matter what happened in his life or in your life. Okay, anti-Semitism never reaps reward to man. I will curse those who curse you. Verse 24. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, their wives, into the lion's den. Ladies, let me just tell you something. Encourage your husband to be in Bible class. Encourage your husband to walk in the Holy Spirit. Encourage your husband to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's to your benefit. Okay. Their wives, their children, into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den. Now, this is interesting. The Holy Spirit tells us this. Sort of a violent, graphic scene. Reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Maliciously accused. The literal translation would be something like this. Let me give you the literal translation. Those who had chewed the bits of Daniel. That's a literal translation. Chewed the bits. It is made up of two Aramaic words. The first means to eat, to devour, to consume, plus the Aramaic word for pieces. Together they give a graphic, vivid picture of what their intent. To devour, to get rid of this Daniel in a cruel, violent way. Perhaps this is what Paul had in mind in Galatians chapter 5:15 in his exhortation to us. But if you bite, talking about the assembly of Galatians, but if you bite and devour one another, that's gossip, maligning, competition, running down. Take care that you are not consumed by one another. I don't know if he had this in mind, but it sure is perfect pattern. In the story of Esther, which will happen after Daniel, by the way, we'll see this in the study of the Greco-Macedonian Empire. In the story of Esther, Haman swung on the very gallows he had built for Mordecai the Jew. Here Darius executes the capital punishment, but he violently executed the people involved. It was the custom in ancient history that a man's family suffered his guilt. But what we're seeing is what's going to happen in the tribulation. You recall the Nebuchadnezzar, when he was going to kill all of his staff because they couldn't answer his question, couldn't interpret his dream, couldn't even tell him his dream. He was going to have them and their families. This is customary in the ancient world. As Daniel foreshadowed those Jews who will survive the tribulation, so these foreshadow all the enemies of Israel, the Battle of Armageddon. So what we're seeing is just history, what's going to happen in history to come. Verse 24 also counters some of the liberals' explanation of how Daniel escaped the lions. They contended that the lions had been well fed before Daniel was thrown in, that's not the case as shown here. Because as soon as these people are thrown in, they eat them up. Verse 25. Then Darius the king wrote, they wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language, he who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear. And people, this went out all over the kingdom at that time, all around the Mediterranean. The God of Daniel before tremble, fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. Over and over throughout Daniel it is made clear the permanency of the kingdom of God. All the kingdoms of time of the Gentiles will be destroyed, but the kingdom of God will be forever. Verse 27, he delivers and rescues and performs signs wonders in heaven and on earth. Now, Darius knows a lot of truth. I know Christians that don't even know this about what's going on in heaven. But this is what God does. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. In Daniel 3:29, the unbeliever Nebuchadnezzar made a similar proclamation about the God of Daniel. People, you cannot demand or decree that anyone believes in Jesus Christ, loves Jesus Christ, grows in the Word of God. You can't make those decrees. This is individual. This is each one of you have to decide for yourself. Okay, prosperity and exile. So this Daniel enjoyed the success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay, one, Daniel died just before Cyrus allowed the first group of Jews to return to Judah. Isaiah 45, 1 and following, 250 years, Isaiah wrote 250 years before it happened, prophesied by the name of the rise of the name Cyrus. He actually states his name 250 years before Cyrus even comes on the scene. People, this is a book we can trust. I don't want to get on a horse here. But think of the number of times we spend on watching stupidity on TV. Watching Human Viewpoint on TV. Watching TV that advocates norms and standards that totally violate the Word of God. Instead of spending our time in this book. Spending our time studying this book. I don't want to get into the legalism of it. I don't want to get into the harassment about it. But I used to go to a church and had Bible class 5 nights a week. In fact, we used to have it here. What a wonderful way to spend the night, an evening, studying the Word of God. Especially with other believers. Two, Daniel lived a full life trusting God, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and following the scriptures he knew in his soul. He knew Genesis. He knew the writings of Moses. He knew the writings of Isaiah. He knew the writings of Jeremiah. Daniel is mentioned three or four. Daniel is mentioned in the great chapter of heroes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. God is able to deliver in any and all circumstances. Now, James wanted to know if it was okay if he gave you another crossword puzzle. I said, I don't know how many looked at the past one, but it's fine with me. So, on the back you have a crossword puzzle of Daniel. Now, next week, we start the second half of the book of Daniel, the second part. Chapters 1 through 6 form one body. Chapter 7 through 12 form another body. Please read Daniel 7 at least twice this week. Just read it slowly. Get an idea of what's going on in Daniel chapter 7. Because from here on, we start some unbelievable prophecy in Scripture. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for Your Word. It is not only a light to our path, it is comfort to our soul. It gives us understanding of things that we cannot understand in the flesh. Why this is going on today. Why that's going on today. But Your Word makes it clear. And Your Word also makes it clear, Heavenly Father, that You have a plan. You're in control. And at that we can find peace and comfort. So, Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning. God's ability to deliver through the fiery furnace. God's ability to deliver through the lion's den. No matter who plots against us. No matter what laws are formed against us. You are in control. and you can deliver. What an awesome God you are. And Father, we are committed to serving you, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to utilize the short time we have here on earth to glorify our Savior. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.